Well, if you don't know me, I'm not the usual guy that stands up here, not quite as handsome, only because he'll see this on video. But my name is Joel Smith, and I am the children's minister here at First Colony. So basically, I'm responsible for fifth grade and below. We hang out in the wing over there, and we pretty much do what you guys do. We just have a lot more fun. So, I am kind of toning it back a little bit, but not totally. So beware. All right, well, I am also a dad, and as a dad, you learn things that you would not necessarily expect to learn. Like, one thing as a dad that I've learned is how to braid hair. Now, granted, I'm not good at it, but I can take some strands and I can braid them together. And why is that important? Well, when you have little girls and their hair is down in their cereal, you need to do something to get it back. Or when it's just in their face and they can't see, and sometimes I'll, try to blow it to the side. But anyway, I've learned how to braid. I'm not that great. Well, today we're continuing with our belief series, and we're talking about peace. And peace is a huge topic. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, peace is mentioned over 400 times. Now you say, okay, so what? Well, love is mentioned less than 200 times. So peace is a big deal. And rather than give you a comprehensive study on peace, I figured I would just take some information, take the strands, and braid them together so you have a picture of peace. Now we're going to do that by going through three different areas. We're going to look at the scripture passage that our Believe curriculum has asked us to utilize. We're also going to look at a theme verse, which gives us some steps. And finally, we're going to look at a testimony of someone walking through some steps as well. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them up to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And there we go. All right. So starting at verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly was swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" So my first area is called Eye on the Storm. And humor me if you will, if you have your bulletin, take it out for a moment. We're going to get hands-on in this lesson, all right? So you got a bulletin. We're actually going to make a storm. I don't know if any of you ever remember doing this in school, but the first step of making a storm with your bulletin at church is the clap. So you can fold your bulletin, you can put it sideways, and you can just kind of clap. If you want to make little rain sounds with your fingers, come on, you can do it. This is a hands-on message. Good job. I hear the rain. You know, it's getting a little more vigorous. Way to go. Okay, so the next step to get a little more intense is shake the paper. All right, very good. Thank you, those of you that are participating. Awesome. And then it gets really intense, and this is the lightning, and this is yank the paper. Now, don't get too excited, because in the samples, this is where it breaks if you're not careful. So you're going to go. All right. Very good. All right. So we're going to make a storm. And what I'm going to do is, when I face you, you'll mimic what I do. And we'll go all the way around. And then we'll start our storm getting a little more intense. You're going to mimic what I do. We'll go all the way back. However, the point is that when Jesus speaks and Jesus says, "Peace, be still," you be listening for that, because that's when we're supposed to be quiet. All right? You ready to do this? Get your bulletin out. We're starting with the gentle rain over here. It's coming in from the distance. Now we're shaking it. Good job. Now we're yanking it. Keep going, keep going. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Pretty cool, huh? I thought that was cool. Your kids would actually probably even enjoy it more. I don't know that we get a hand for that, but thank you very much. All right. Well, so in this little narrative, there's many things, but there's two things that I walk away with. So the first one is, you see the disciples, and they tried everything they could. These guys are professional fishermen, and unfortunately, they weren't able to change things, so when all else fails, they turn to Jesus and say, help. So the first point I want to make is that we need to hold on to the promises. And Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unwavering to the hope we profess, because he who has promised is faithful. Now, years ago when I was in a youth group, there was a gentleman who came and gave a talk to us. And so he was talking about holding on to the promises of God, and he had a stick. And so he said, you see this stick here? This stick represents the promises of God. And so we're like, cool. And he's like, I need a volunteer. You're going to come up here and try to take this stick out of my hand. So somebody came up, and if I remember correctly, I think I got to be the volunteer, hence the reason why I remember the story. So, you know, I'm a big guy, so I'm just yanking in his hand, and he was a football player, and he's like, you know, you're not getting it. You know, I even tried the twist, you know. And so I'm pulling. He's not letting me have it. Well, once I realize that I don't have it, I figure the lesson is over, so I drop my end because obviously he's not going to give it to me. And he said, you know, that's the point that I wanted to make. So often, we know that God has promised us something, and we're like, you know, dear God, please show up here. And we're pulling and tugging and trying to get his attention so that he'll answer our prayer in the way that we want it. But when that doesn't work in the time that we think it should, what do? We drop it. Say, okay, fine, I give up. You're not helping out. So I want to challenge you. Step number one, hold on to the promises. But what's fascinating is you see at the end of this narrative, they're scared. Their boat's about to be capsized. Life is terrible. And what happens? He calms the storm. And now they're peaceful and happy? No, it says they're still terrified. Well, we have a tendency, you may have this challenge as well, but we have a tendency to like want to control things. And when things aren't working the way that we want them to, it's like, hey, God, here, it's yours. You can have it. Take over, please. And maybe he steps in, maybe he fixes it. And then we're like, you know what? I want it back. It's mine. Thank you. I got it from here. Well, the second point I want to make is that we need to let go of things that we shouldn't be holding on to. And ultimately, when we say, you know what, I want the steering wheel, it's my drive, hop in the back seat, I'll show you where we're going, that's ultimately pride. So we need to let go of pride. We need to hold on to the promises, and we need to let go of pride. So I'm going to take a brief intermission in this message, and I want you to respond with your bulletin. I want you to hold your bulletin, and if there is something in your life where you're like, you know what, I'm really struggling, but I know that God is faithful. I know I need to hold on to his promises. I want you to hold on to your bulletin. If there's something in your life where you're saying, you know what, there are some other things in my life where I'm like, you know, this isn't the best thing that I should be holding on to. And even right now, as Joel is talking, this is something that I need to let go of. I want you to open palm your hands with your bulletin, and we're going to pray. So please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the creator, that you do calm the storm, and that you are faithful, and you have given us promises that we can hold on to. But we also know as we follow you and as we look for peace, there are things that we need to let go. And so, Father, wherever each individual here is in this audience, I pray that they would hold on to your promises, but let go of pride. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's strand number one, eye on the storm. Strand number two, we're looking at some steps. And this comes to us from our key verse. So if you will, turn to the key verse. You should have it memorized by now. All right, it's Philippians 4:6-7. And it goes like this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I see three areas in this that we can walk away with. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So if we're looking for peace, what's our first word? It's going to be prayer. All right. But what I like about prayer is that it's saying cast your cares, cast your burdens, specific requests, but it says also with thanksgiving. So in our life, we typically, as you grow in your walk, there are monuments that you have in your past where you have seen God be faithful. And so you hold on to those monuments where you're saying, okay, you know what? As I look ahead of me, this is going to be tough. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can remember back to that one time when God was helpful in this area and he answered things the way that I had hoped that he would. So what is a verse for that? Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Psalm 55:22. He will never, never, never let the righteous fall. Nice little caveat on the side. Our church subscribes to Right Now Media. There is a section in there called Seeds Family Worship, and they have Bible verses set to tunes, and that's a cool one. So if you have kids or you just want to learn Bible verses in a song way, check it out. All right, so what's a monument in my past? Well, those of you who know me, or if you don't know me, I have kids. We have a few kids, and we're actually expecting another child. And when we went from 3 children to 4 children, we only had basically a sedan, a little Toyota Corolla, and a Buick Skylark or something. And so the problem is that you technically can't put 3 car seats side by side by side. And so we had car seat, little child, car seat, and we're adding another car seat. And so we knew we didn't have the resources to get another car as is, and we began to pray about it. And we're like, you know, we're trusting you, God. You provided for us. We believe that you'll still provide for us. And time went by and time went by and time went by. And soon enough, we're heading to the hospital to have the baby, and God has not provided a car. And so that's when you're like, you know, do I hold on the promise or do I just drop it? And I can confess, it was getting a little scary. And so we went into the hospital, and Melinda, we had the baby. When we had the baby, by the time it was all done, God had provided a minivan for us. And what's so cool is we are expecting our 10th child. And in the course of that time, God has provided 5 vans for us, including the one that we have now, which is pretty cool. So when you're going through something difficult, you can look back and say, you know what? I don't know what we're going to do over here, but I know in the past God has come through and I can trust him. So first step there is prayer. The second step is peace. Now you're like, okay, we're learning about peace and you're telling me the step is peace. How is that going to help me out? Well, not this Christmas, but last Christmas, Ronnie preached a sermon about the Prince of Peace and 3 keys to peace. Number 1 is peace with God. Number 2 is peace of God. And the last one is be a peacemaker. So number 1, peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our goal as an individual is to first come to know Jesus. And what is that process like? What is the gospel in a nutshell? God made it. We broke it. Jesus fixes it. You respond. How do you respond? Well, you respond by receiving that gift of salvation. Then we have peace of God. The world is providing opportunities for faux peace. You know, do this and you'll have peace. You'll have serenity. Well, the thing is that those don't last. I mean, think about it. Medication. Medication will help for a period, but once the medication wears off, you'll have to take another one to keep it going. Whatever it is that people do to find peace, God's peace lasts even in the storm. And then the last one, actually I'll read my verse to go with that because that's important. It's up on the screen behind you. That's my cue. John 14:7, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And finally, to be peacemakers. And you all know from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Peacemakers reconcile the world to God, and it starts within your sphere of influence. Now, this is where I get to give a commercial. You know, we are to be peacemakers. How would you rate yourself as a peacemaker? Are you out there having an opportunity to reconcile the world to God in your sphere of influence? Well, where's our sphere of influence? It's at our home. It's with our family. It's with our friends. It's at our church. And I mentioned a commercial. We need peacemakers in the sense of handing children God's reconciling information so that he can draw their hearts. We need volunteers in children's ministry. I had someone say, okay, Joel, if you could tell me your one biggest need, what would it be? I would say it's Wednesday night. The youth is beginning their pursuing of volunteers for even next year, and most likely you'll be getting a call. Richard was telling me, you know what? For our audio visual, we need people. What an opportunity to work as a peacemaker to provide the resources that go out into the world and beyond. And even if you don't know anything about it, they'll train you, which is pretty cool. Grant, you saw the video, Hearts and Hammers, coming in 2 weekends, I believe. Another opportunity to serve as well. So that's my commercial. All right, so that's the eye on the steps. And then the last point is the person of Jesus Christ. You know how they ended it, going to in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of you remember, I remember the bumper sticker that said, no Jesus, no peace, and it's spelled N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O, peace. No Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. Well, that's kind of the whole point. We want to know Jesus. And I heard a really cool illustration I want to share. A preacher up in the Fort Worth area, Ron Dunn, who has passed away, gave this illustration. And he told about a wealthy man in England. And this man had acquired a very impressive art collection. And in his art collection, it was priceless. And so as time went by, his wife passed away. He was a widower. And his son grew up. And joined the military and then was killed in battle. And so when this man died, it was reported that his art collection was going to go up for auction, and a number of people were very excited about the opportunity to get to art that you wouldn't normally have access to. And so people actually came from all over Europe to bid on these art pieces. Well, what's interesting is the auctioneer got up in front of everyone and he flipped the sheet back on the first art piece, and it was a portrait of this man's son. And, everybody's kind of like, okay, that's not even great art, but okay. And so he said, well, guys, this is a picture that was painted by a nobody, not even a great picture, but it's a picture of this man's son, and it was a very special thing to him, especially in his son's death. And so the will stipulates that someone has to buy this before we can move on. And crickets. And so finally, an older gentleman in the back said, I'll purchase it. And so he bid on it and bought it. And it happened to be the butler of the family who retired as a close family friend. He knew the boy well. Well, then the attorney walks up to the auctioneer. They talk. The auctioneer says, well, the auction is closed. And people are like, wait, where's the good stuff? And he said, well, actually, the will stipulates that whoever purchases the son then gets everything, the whole estate and everything. And what a picture of what God has done for us. When you get Jesus Christ, we get to be his sons and daughters in heaven. We get the keys to the estate, which is truly incredible. So the person of Jesus Christ. Now the final strand is a testimony. And this is Eye on the Sky. And as a children's minister, there are conferences which we get to go to, and my favorite is called the Children's Pastors Conference. It usually comes around in January. And this year, the keynote speaker was someone pretty famous, and I never heard him live. I've seen him on video before, but I've never heard him live. And so I was very excited to hear his presentation. And he got up in front of everybody and, you know, just kind of is down into his notes. And he said, you know, if I didn't know it, I wouldn't have envisioned myself here. And it's kind of a weird way to start. And basically the story unfolds that he had gone through some very intense depression and discouragement, even so much that he was incapacitated physically to leave his house. And so you're like, okay, wow. And so as a minister, I mean, he knows God's word very well, and he would quote verses and try to get out of his discouragement, but wasn't able to. And also trying medical assistance, he would pursue that. And unfortunately, that wasn't working either. And then he looked at us and he said, you know what got me out of my depression? It's like, no, tell us. And he said, worship. Worship got me out of my depression. And T.D. Jakes has said, worship and worry cannot coexist. Well, then this man, whose name is Louis Giglio, went on to give us a picture of some of God's creation. And you know how God has said, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out his creation, the sun, the stars, the moon praise God. Well, Louis Giglio said, did you know the stars are making sounds? And of course we do. Well, he's like, have you ever heard them together? And it's like, no, we haven't. So he starts working on his iPad. And so, you know, some sound like whirl, 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 whirl. And some sound like click, 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 click. And some sound like a string section humming. And so he said, we put all these together and we even added some whale singing, and we just, you know, have this information. And it's like, man, this is really cool. Well, what's so cool is as he lays all this out, and I'm going to show you a video of it, it's going to start off a little confusing, but realize I had to snip, snip, snip to get to where we are. But he's going to lay out some of the stars that are humming and singing to God's glory. He's going to start layering them. He's going to add things. But then what's fascinating is he's going to add a song that you know, and it fits. And your only response is to worship and sing along. And so to close this message, rather than close in prayer, I want us to listen to what you hear and see. And then if you want to just sing along, it'll be a song that you know. I encourage you to sing along. Pete will come out and maybe lead one more time in the chorus. But this is our closing as we, the final P, which is praise, our eye in the sky. We want to be worshiping God to get peace.
Stars sing and whales sing and the birds fly. And I just tried to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what he hears. And I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program. And I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly. And I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSRBO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. But that's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard, here they come. Thank you. was asking what you're asking, because some people need it really clear. Like, what are they singing? And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing.
Give the Lord a hand.